right, counsel. You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Roy Chang, and I am the attorney representing Mr. Michael Mizuno, who was the appellant in this case. Your Honor, may I first begin by thanking the Court. Well, first of all, may I apologize to the Court for not seeking the Court's permission first to use these exceptions.
All right, no apologies, and we're now under time constraints, so let's just get to the nub of this case.
Sure. May I also reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal?
Sure.
Your Honor, the Hawaii Supreme Court, in the Dawes decision, had a choice. They could have restricted UM coverage, United Uninsured Motorist coverage, to just the occupants who are within the vehicle. But because of the remedial nature of Hawaii's UM statute, they extended coverage to the occupants, even though they were outside of the vehicle, and in the Dawes case, as far as a mile away, provided that we could show...
But Dawes was there because the car had broken down, right?
That is correct, yes. And the...
So in an approximate causey kind of sense, he was more... The causation or the chain of events is more obvious.
That is correct, yes. And that's one of the connections which we would have to prove in order to obtain coverage. And one of the connections was, what was the reason that the occupants left the vehicle? And in Dawes, the reason was related to the vehicle. In Leakey, the reason for leaving the vehicle was related to the permitted use of the vehicle by the owner to Mr. Leakey. And so that is a second connection which would also warrant coverage. The Leakey court went one step further and came up with a second connection, and that was a geographic connection. Using the example of the Rao case, the Leakey court felt that proximity was another way of proving connection to the insured vehicle, and in that case it was 10 or 15 feet away. So what the courts did...
What I don't understand here is, to me, he got out of the car to mail a letter, which has nothing to do with driving the car. Mm-hmm. And that the mailbox is close, or that he was struck by a car close to getting back into the car, I just don't see how it's related at all to operating the car. It's a completely independent purpose that with which he was acting. And I don't think either Dawes or Leakey come within that same sort of facts.
Yes, Your Honor. The difference would be that looking at Hawaii being a very remedial statute, we don't have to prove that the connection was only because there was something wrong with the car or that it had something to do with the actual physical operation of the car. Connections may also be shown by the permitted use of the car, and that's what our Hawaii court talked about. And what we're looking at is what this court should be asked this court to do is not to reinterpret Hawaii law.
Well, suppose that they post that he'd done the same thing. He'd been asked by the owner to deliver the letter, and he had, suppose he'd been asked to go buy some milk, and he goes and he parks the car and he walks 3 blocks to a supermarket and buys the milk, and so he's now 3 blocks away, not a couple, 50 feet away at the time he's run over by the car. Does that matter? By somebody else? Does that matter?
No, the reason it does not matter, Your Honor, because that's not for exactly the factual situations that we have. But may I use my second word? The important thing to know from the facts is that when Mr. Mizuno left the vehicle, he never deviated from the permission to which Ms. Wong had given him to use her car.
I understand. I'm giving you the same hypothetical, except that it was 3 blocks away.
The distance in Dawes did not make a difference. In Leakey, the court said that could, and they resorted to proximity as one of the things. Geographic proximity was a connection to which coverage could be found. And the other thing, which is a little bit different in Mr. Mizuno's case, in Dawes, they're actually walking away from the vehicle. In Leakey, he was working away from the vehicle. In Mr. Mizuno's case, he was actually returning to the vehicle, returning to reoccupy the vehicle.
But your answer is, if it was 3 blocks away, it wouldn't matter if it was a car.
It wouldn't matter if it was still within the permitted use as the owner had given him to use the car?
Okay. Does it matter whether or not Wong said he could leave the car to go mail his letters and then return to the car?
That was the permitted use that Ms. Wong had given him to use the car, and then to go on to the remainder of the use, which is take the car.
Is that relevant? Is that relevant to this chain of events analysis that Wong said he could get out? And I don't see that in the undisputed facts, but that Wong said he could get out and mail the letters.
It's relevant for the permitted use connection. If it was just the chain of events, if we go back to Dawes, in Dawes, the chain of events test was as soon as he stepped out of the vehicle and then he was injured by the uninsured motorist, he would be connected so long as there was no break in the chain of causation.
Does anybody else have any questions?
What's troubling is the stopping point question.
Sure.
On your theory. I mean, if your theory is essentially that anybody, the fact that he was asked to do this by the owner of the car is sort of irrelevant, isn't it? As long as he's a permissive driver of the car, the Dawes case would vacate or void the occupancy requirement. And then he would be considered the same as if he were the owner of the car for purposes of the chain of events standard, wouldn't he?
Yes, Your Honor, you're correct.
So, therefore, the fact that he was delivering the mail at the behest of the owner of the car is really not pertinent. So then the question is, you know, all right, three blocks away. Suppose he, goes away for 3 hours and comes back to the car. We're still in the same place? If he drove somewhere in a car and went somewhere, went to the movies, five blocks away, and now he's driving, is there a stopping point here?
And that's really a very good question. If you were to read Dawes that way, yes, that would be true. I think
what would be true?
That he, so long as he had permitted use of the vehicle, and that
and
the
injury went somewhere
occurred,
in the vehicle, and he was going back to the car.
That's correct.
No matter where he went or how long he went or how far away it was.
So long as he had permission to use the car and no matter where it took place, and that would be one connection. What I'm trying to say is that Leakey had some problems with that, I think, as well. So Leakey tried to come up with some other examples of connections, and that's where they came up with a permitted use connection as well as the geographic connections. But again, the decision by Dawes Court was an extremely broad, extremely liberal decision because of the purpose of Hawaii's United Uninsured Motorist Statute, which really the main purpose behind the statute was to put the injured person in the same position he or she would have been had the irresponsible motorist been insured, or in this case...
comes out like a fortuity at that point. Whether the person got to the movies by a car or a bus seems to have very little to do with whether if somebody runs them down, they're covered by car insurance.
As far as being not the owner of the car insurance, but as...
Well, whoever it is. I mean, I'm on the premise that what Dawes did do was eliminate any difference between the owner and the permissive driver. So therefore, it would be whether it's the owner or the permissive driver. Nonetheless, the question is, do they really mean that if you go someplace in a car, as long as you're either leaving the car or coming back to the car, no matter how far you are from the car, you're covered?
You're correct, Your Honor. That's the way Dawes...
I'm sorry, what?
You are correct. That's the way Dawes has been interpreted. That's where the dissent had a problem with it, and that's also what the Leakey Court said was, it's a very broad thing, but what we're going to do is add a little bit more other ways of proving that connection. And that's why they went into these other criteria, not saying it had to be there, but someone that wanted
to
prove that connection
criteria?
Could do
the
so.
The Leakey case?
The Leakey case, yes, Your Honor. That was the Intermediate Court of Appeals. What they did was they looked at the Rao criteria from the state of Washington, and they adopted just one of those criteria, which was the geographic connection the close proximity to the car. So I think what the Leakey court tried to do was to add or give us courts more examples of where you could have this connection or how the connection could be proven without just the broad connection. And I think that's what we have in our case. If you were just to apply Leakey to our facts, and that's what we're asking the court to do, Leakey really is controlling in that respect because the two criteria which Leakey relied upon, permitted use of the vehicle and the proximity, is exactly what happened in Mr. Mizuno's case, except for one other thing, and that other thing was he was returning to the vehicle. And the last connection to the whole thing is when Mr. Mizuno left the vehicle, he never deviated from the entire mission to which Ms. Wong had asked him to commit to do, and he never broke the chain of causation. So he fulfilled at least three or four of the connections to which both courts have talked about. And I say as far as the Leakey court is concerned, those criteria are examples which they wanted to give to the courts so that they could use those examples in which to find coverage and connection. Again, because of the remedial nature of Hawaii's law.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Opposing counsel now.
May it please the court. Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is David Arata Stone, and I represent Appley State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. I think as Your Honors have identified already, the claimant's argument here is for an extension of Hawaii case law regarding the applicability of...
Well, why is it different than Leakey in any way that matters?
Leakey, it's different than Leakey primarily because the characterization by appellant's counsel that Leakey turned primarily on proximity is not entirely accurate. Leakey, the court was looking for a connection between the claimant's injury and the insured motor vehicle, and it found that connection by the fact that Leakey was an employee of the named insured. This was a policy that was a commercial policy, an issue to a corporate entity, who was using the truck during the course of his employment to get to and from the job site where he was injured and to store and transport the equipment that he was using as part of his duties at the time he was injured. And this was while cleaning a sump at a gas station. Here, you have use of a vehicle for personal use and
it appears, do you disagree that Dawes said that the occupancy limitation with regard to permissive drivers is void, gone?
I agree to the extent that policy language limited insured status to someone injured while actually in the vehicle.
Okay, so that's void. So therefore, we have the permissive driver now in the same position, as I understand it, as an owner or a employee or anybody else who is otherwise covered by the insurance.
I would respectfully disagree with you.
Why is that?
That is because what the court has made clear in this decision and others is that with regard to a so-called Class 1 insured, who would be the named insured, spouse, or resident family member, UM and UIM coverage applies regardless of where that person is. Even if the person was not previously inside a vehicle, had not transited to any accident location in the vehicle, it just follows the person. It's portable. So
you would agree that if this person was the owner of the car and exactly the same thing happened, they'd be covered?
Yes.
So then don't you lose at that point under Dawes?
Because Dawes doesn't eliminate that distinction entirely.
Because it's void. What does void mean if it doesn't mean that it isn't there?
Respectfully, Your Honor, what Dawes says is that the limitation to exclusively occupancy as opposed to other connections to the vehicle is void. It doesn't say that...
So the chain of events standard applies differently to the owners than to permissive drivers?
What the Dawes court did was construct or adopt from an Oklahoma court decision a chain of events test that related to the anomaly presented where you have an owner or other Class 1 insured and simply a passenger in the same vehicle at the same time and who are injured outside the vehicle.
Nothing at all says that it turned on there being the same vehicle at the same time.
Well, actually, the very first element of the Dawes test, Your Honor, is if a person was a passenger in an insured vehicle being operated by a named insured or a named insured's family member, which was, of course, the situation in Dawes, in that you had the resident's son, resident adult son of the named insured had been driving the vehicle, and a non-resident, non-relative passenger was later injured in their trek to get help after the vehicle broke down.
What's Class 2? What's a Class 2 person?
A Class 2 person would be an insured whose status as insured is by virtue of the person's connection to the vehicle, either occupancy, use, operation. And what Dawes and Olson before it and Leakey recognize is that insurers are not free to limit that solely to occupancy, but that if the requisite connection, as was established in Leakey, or in Olson for that matter, although in Olson it was couched in terms of use, is established, then that person is entitled to insured status.
What's your best argument why Mizuno doesn't fall within Leakey / Dawes?
Because of none of the connection to the vehicle that was present in either Dawes or Leakey is present here, other than the fact that he at one point was in the vehicle, transited to a certain place, got out, closed the vehicle, was no longer operating it, walked across the street, performed a task, and then walked back and was struck. And I think that raises the question that Your Honors had raised during counsel's argument about the limitations of that status. Would it apply?
Difference between, though, if it had been a Class 1, it would have been covered.
Correct.
No question. But the fact that it's a Class 2 means somehow they lose the protection.
Well, I think, Your Honor, what it means is that as a Class 2 insured, their insured status for purposes of UM coverage depends on their connection to the vehicle, whereas a Class 1 insured status depends on that person's status as a named insured spouse or resident relative. And what we're saying is that the connections found in Dawes, in which the whole purpose of the trek related to the vehicle, and Leakey, which I read from the court's decision regarding multiple connections to the vehicle, are not present here. And if the court in Dawes had wanted to create a rule that any time a passenger or someone operating the vehicle who wasn't a named insured or otherwise a Class 1 insured got to a location in that vehicle, and after leaving the vehicle and not in the process of getting in or out of it, was somehow injured in a motor vehicle accident, that person was necessarily an insured, wanted to create that sort of bright line rule, the Dawes court could have done that, but it didn't. Instead, it gave us this this test regarding chain of events. And we would submit, Your Honors, that the insured, that Mr. Mizuno in this case, doesn't satisfy all of the elements of that test. Even if you get beyond the first element where he wasn't a passenger in a vehicle operated by a named insured or family member, there's still the issue of his connection to the vehicle. At the time of the accident, he had simply deposited mail and was walking across the street. It had no integral relationship between what he was doing and the vehicle, other than that, you know, he was heading back in the direction of the vehicle. And we have this situation here with that, without limits, as recognized in Dawes, that someone could have gone to the movies, gone to a restaurant, gone from one side of a shopping center to the other, and been involved in a pedestrian accident. And under the plaintiff's appellant's argument, or defendant's appellant's argument, that person would be entitled to coverage. And that would, in effect, do what Your Honors had asked about and that would be to eliminate all distinctions between Class 1 and Class 2 insureds. But the court in Dawes didn't do that. It could have. It certainly had that opportunity. But it didn't make that sort of blanket distinction or bright-line rule. And, in fact, none of the cases cited by appellant's counsel establishes such a broad, far-reaching concession of coverage, whether under Hawaii law or any other.
Leaking, the person was not a passenger.
Yeah, and the Intermediate Court of Appeals did apply the chain of events test, although it struggled with the issue of whether the first element of that chain of events test would apply.
Struggled, but it concluded it didn't matter after it struggled.
Yeah, it didn't matter ultimately because it found the
ultimately
requisite.
Ultimately is what matters.
It found the requisite connection to the vehicle.
Okay, and so this is different because?
Well, again, all of the connections mentioned in Leakey regarding the claimant's use of the vehicle as part of his job function and to carry the equipment to which he went back and forth to get the equipment, and the fact that it was a commercial vehicle insured under commercial policy, all of these, in the Leakey court's view, established the requisite connection. And
thank you, counsel. I think we've got your argument.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors.
You have a minute for rebuttal.
Thank you. real quick, I think the court is correct that in Leakey there was no requirement that the owner had to be in the vehicle. I think they're also trying to say, well, it's very limited because it only applies
to... I don't understand your opponent to be saying they had to be in the vehicle.
With him. In other words, he had to accompany... the owner had to be accompanying Mr. Leakey in order for his car.
Okay.
I think Leakey basically said it didn't matter. And lastly, I think the court had it correct, Judge Berzon, that what the Supreme Court did was it took Class 1 and Class 2 individuals and voided it. It says we're going to treat them the same. Our law requires it to be treated the same.
I'm not sure about that.
And then just the last point as far as State Farm is trying to argue that this is job-related. There's nowhere in the policy or in the law that it says it only has to be job-related. And, again, that's why Leakey went and said there are other...
You want to broaden it to mission-related.
Correct. It's really mission-related, relationship, permitted use, I think is what Leakey said.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
State Farm versus Mizuno is...